And he's mine too. Amen. Oh, I know you're glad to be here today. Amen. Take your Bibles, find the book of John, please. The book of John. We are here, obviously, to celebrate the risen Savior. But I am so thankful that because he's alive, we have access. Because he did raise from the dead, we have an advocate. We have someone that will never leave us, will never forsake us. For the last few weeks, I have tried my best to wrap my mind around the resurrection. You can't. And I'm not going to say anything you don't know. But what I am going to do is remind you of the price that was paid for you and for me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. See, I love celebrating the truth of Jesus, and I love celebrating the fact that he is alive. And man, I get just as excited next Sunday as I am this Sunday, because every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday at Living Water. Because Jesus just ain't for the weekend. And Easter, quote unquote, is not for one day out of the year, where we get, the kids get an extra day off. It is the answer to every question that you have. It is our hope. It is his glory. And if we could just for a moment, in faith, believe, he did it for me. He did it for you. Are in the book of John? Go to chapter 11, please. The fact that Jesus is alive, the fact that even history bears out that he was crucified and placed in a tomb, and there is a lot of naysayers now. There were more naysayers then. A lot of speculation about where Jesus went, what he did. They even claimed that the disciples stole his body. And if they would have just thought that through a little bit, they would have realized the disciples were scared to death hiding out in a room, not knowing what their next move was. And then Jesus, having resurrected from the grave, says, I ain't going to leave you with a bunch of questions. And so he came with all the answers. See, the fact that he is more powerful than death, the fact that he's more powerful than hell. The fact that he has overcome the grave. We have sang about it all morning long. He has authority over all of those things, but do we understand that he has the authority over our lives if we have given our lives to him? Now, he has authority anyway, but we can either fight against it or go with him. And I just want to throw this out there. If you didn't already know, no one that fought against Jesus he's full of mercy and he's full of grace. But there's a reason that your Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because there's nothing that can stop our Jesus. I chose a familiar story in John 11 for one reason and one reason only. And all of you that have been in church more than 5 minutes know that John 11 is the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And you're like, wait, we're supposed to be talking about Jesus raising from the dead. No, I'm trying to contextualize why he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In fact, in John chapter 11, if you'll go there, please, verse 25, your Bible and my Bible says very clearly, Jesus speaking, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. The context of that statement is not the tomb. The context of that statement is not Jesus suffering the cross. The context of this statement is Jesus doing real life with real people. The context of this statement is a family going through a struggle that you and I can identify with on many, many layers and many, many levels. So I don't want you to think that, okay, I'm not spiritual enough, or I'm not religious enough, or whatever the enemy's trying to tell you right now. So, you know, I this ain't for me because I'm just too bad, or I got so many problems that honestly, I would consume all of Jesus' time. Jesus transcends time, and he's bigger than your problem. And I pray you didn't hear me be condescending or take your problems lightly, because I didn't. What I want you to understand is that Jesus made this incredible statement while he is dealing with trying to teach that he's reachable. And he's not just reachable when he's invited into the problem. Things change drastically. And you know why things change drastically? Because when you're in the presence of Jesus, anything is possible. So you and I change drastically. See, what happens so many times is, and we're going to read about it, and you'll understand it a little better as we unpack the story quickly, is that many times we try to be patient. Amen? We try to be patient. And God just don't do it like we think he's going to do it. So we do what I have done many times, and that is, I got this. I want a loudly and clearly say, I ain't got this. I never had this. the part I thought I had, I wasn't even close to it. But when you're in the presence of Jesus, he will transform you. And you know what? You don't even mind the waiting, because the longer you wait, the greater the anticipation builds on, I wonder what Jesus will do. But you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. You've got to put yourself in the way of a blessing. And we'll say that again. You got to put yourself in the way of a blessing. Some of us shuck and jive life so much that we're trying to dodge every problem, and we're trying to fix every situation, and you know, it's like we're making a step here and now we're over here, and it's not that Jesus can't get to you. Jesus is waiting for you to stop and say, Jesus, I need you. For those of you that have, like myself, grown up in church, or maybe you've only been a Christ follower for a very short time. You know, the church has a bad habit of, we throw these words around like everybody knows them. And don't raise your hand, but have you ever, like, just went along with it? You know, even you might have even used the word. You've used the word, and if somebody pinned you down and said, articulate that and parse that out into a sentence for me, you'll usually quote whatever your preacher said that Sunday when you heard it. Fair? I did. Right. So many times we will say things and we're really not, I mean, we got an idea because of our Christian friends. One of those words is resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Now, you know what life is. And just so that we're on the same page, and honestly, not because I know more than you know, but because for years I would claim that he is the resurrection and the life, and I didn't fully understand what the resurrection was. By definition. The definition of resurrection is the state of one risen from the dead. It is arousing to bring back to life one that is dead. I love that word, arousing. There's something that just begins to churn inside of you when you know something inside of you has died. Your dream, your vision, your plan, it dies, and you can't understand why things aren't falling into place the way you planned. And so eventually we just let it die. And here's what happens. We start to blame ourselves. Well, God can't use me, obviously, or this or that would have happened. Stop trying to read God's mind. I mean, it'll just save you a lot of heartache down the line. Just give it to him and wait on him to move. And what happens is, when God tries to bring something back to life inside of you that have died, it could be giftings, it could be your calling, it could be your purpose, and you got derailed somewhere along the way. Today, God is going to call it back to life. You're like, well, that's a pretty bold statement. I know, and I can make it because Jesus is alive. Amen. Now you got to let him call out, I'm the resurrection and the life. That statement made in the context of Jesus' friend who had passed away. I want to look at, if you would allow, three ways that many of us die inside. But Jesus. See, I can stand up here all day and talk about the fact that Jesus rose from the grave and try to convince you that that happened. I honestly believe that the church kind of takes the easy way out on that, because yes, we celebrate it, but many times people don't have a problem believing that the resurrection took place. They just don't know how that applies to their life 2,000 plus years later. And I want to be relevant, so let's talk about it. Are you still in John 11? Let's read, please, verses 1 through 3. If you don't have a Bible, there might be one in front of you, but the verses will all be on the screen behind me. Your Bible and my Bible says this: "Now a certain man was sick." Everybody say sick. We're gonna come to find out he wasn't just sick. He was so sick he was about to die. There was a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Martha who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. Therefore, because of that, because of what we just read, the sisters sent to Jesus saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love," Jesus and Lazarus were friends, "he whom you love is sick." Now let me pause for a moment and bring to your attention that this was bad news received in the middle of a good life. Mary and Martha weren't just poverty stricken trying to get by. No, that's not how they were. Jesus didn't respond because they just had it oh so tough. Jesus responded because he is the resurrection and the life. And people matter. You matter. I matter. And I will spend the rest of my life trying to convince you that you matter. You matter no matter what someone said. You matter no matter whether you spent years coming through the broken system of foster care. You matter. You matter even though you've butted heads with everybody. You matter. You matter. And we have in our story tragedy that happened in the middle of a pretty good life. And Jesus responds because these folks matter. I'm so glad he responded to me when I cried out for his name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'll never forget. But you know, in our world, in our life, in our culture, there's just a lot of people hurting right now. Even my own family have experienced a few tragedies this past week. It's overwhelming. It really is. It's overwhelming. But Jesus. And as Ms. Kim always says, man, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. I don't even know what time it was one night this week. She texted me and she said, "Are you okay? I was supposed to be home long before I got there. Are you okay?" And I said, "No, not really." And she said, "What's the matter?" I said, I can't focus. I can't. My heart is so heavy and burdened for folks to receive this message of the resurrected Savior that I don't know what to do. So I closed my Bible and I shut down the media and I shut out the lights and I laid at this altar for close to 2 hours. Because when I don't know what to do, I do what I know to do. And what I know to do is go to Jesus. Because there's a lot of hurting people in the world today. There's a lot of hurting people in this room today. We put on our Easter face. Are you with me still? Yeah. See, you are invited to come to church and We're so glad you're here, and if it's your first time, my name's Jeff, and I'm glad you're here. But you need to understand that we don't do masks well here. And by that I mean you don't got to like come in the door airing your dirty laundry. It's none of our business until you invite us in. But the reality of it is you're going to see every side of me, and some of it you're not going to like. And I can say that because some of it I don't like. And it's okay to be transparent. And it's okay to not be okay. Maybe some of you have been given news this week that a loved one is sick. That's in our story, and that's relevant for today. Maybe some of you heard the news that your job is likely going away. Some may celebrate. But for others, that could be devastating news. Maybe you're here today. Hear me. Maybe you're here and your dream marriage has turned into a nightmare. Maybe a close relationship is just crumbling right before your eyes. Maybe you got a call from the principal this week and it wasn't to tell you that your kid made the honor roll. And you wrestle, how do I approach this? How do I address this? I know what some of you my age are thinking. You're thinking, oh, I know how to address this. Yeah, I mean, you can just move on because I got this. If you grew up in the 60s, can I get an amen? Yeah. Here's the thing. Now, you're going to handle it, and I'm so proud of the parents of Living Water. I am because I see your kids. Your kids are amazing. But maybe the kid is a little older and you're trying to figure out how to approach the situation. Man, that's a burden. That's a burden because you want to honor the fact that they're becoming a young adult, but you're trying to stop them from making a stupid mistake. Now, for some, the answer is still... But sometimes it takes a little more wisdom. But in the middle of all of that was going on, Jesus says something that's, to me, nothing short of amazing. Would you look at verse 4 of John 11, please? I love this. When Jesus heard what? That his friend was sick. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified." Amen. This very thing that you never wanted to happen, the very thing that you wished would have never happened, the very thing that blindsided you and came out of left field. Listen, if you invite Jesus in, it will be used for God's glory. And there is no news that you could ever receive that surprises Jesus. None. We'll come back to that verse in a minute, but let me give you a quick summary of verse 5 through 14. You can read it on your own time if you'd like, but for the sake of time, I'm gonna jump ahead. Basically, everybody believes Jesus is going to come and help as soon as he got the message because they were friends. And what does Jesus do? Jesus does nothing. So for 2 days, he doesn't do anything. He literally does nothing in terms of fixing the problem that has been identified. Your friend Lazarus is sick unto death. And Jesus said, it's all good. He ain't going to die. He's good. And whatever happens, it's for the glory of God. It almost sounds like hyper-spiritual, doesn't it? But it was truth. It was truth. Jesus was waiting. He was waiting on the right time. Jesus doesn't arrive early and he doesn't arrive late. He always arrives on time. I wish I could learn that. So 2 days later, he says to his disciples, man, let's go back to Judea. We got to go. And they're like, you can't go there. If you go there, they're going to try to kill you. And it's almost like Jesus, like, I've been trying to tell you what my mission is now. And honestly, yeah, they might try to kill me. They might not. But I know this. I got to move. And once Jesus begins to move, the atmosphere begins to change. And they were a little afraid. But I love the fact that he says, Lazarus has fallen asleep. Not sleep like we know it, but sleep like I'm going to go wake him up. He's asleep. He's dead, but I'm going to go and I am going to raise him from the dead. What I want you to look at are the three characters in this story. And if you identify with any of them, listen to me. Please listen to me. Don't wait on me to do something religious. Don't wait. If God allows me to say exactly what he's been trying to tell you and exactly what your struggle is, do not wait for some ambient music and an altar. Get out of it. Listen. Jesus is here, and he wants to raise to life that which is dead inside of you. And my assignment today is to try to remind you why you feel dead. This will be the most practical, simple message you ever heard. And for those of you that, you know, Easter is the only time you come, I want to get as much into it as I can. Because I want you to leave different than you came. I want to leave different. Number one, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, notice a man named Thomas. Thomas was doubtful. You're like, oh, here we go. I've heard this story. No, hold on. You have heard this story. But he got a bad rap in the story you're talking about. And honestly, if I could have thought of another word that started with a D, I'd have probably used it. I wasn't smart enough. But Thomas was doubtful. You say, Jeff, he wasn't doubtful. Look at verse 16, if you would, please. Then Thomas said to his fellow disciples, let us go also so that we can die. Let's go on. Now, that is a statement of bravery, but it's also a statement of defeat. You're like, wait, they can't be the same. Sure they can. Sure they can. Thomas doubted that they were ever going to come out of this. So he spoke up and said, let's just go and we'll just die with him. But Jesus didn't say nothing about them dying. But he doubted the fact that they were going to get out of the situation unscathed. Look at me. You might be in a situation right now and you feel like you're not going to get out of it unscathed. Jesus comes today to tell you, I am the resurrection and the life. I didn't say you wouldn't get out of the situation at all, and I didn't say that you would get out of it and have no ripple effect. What I said was, Jesus will deliver you because he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and at the risk of sounding condescending, and it is not my heart, he's able to take authority over that thing in your life that has caused you to doubt your salvation, that has caused you to doubt. Doubt, doubt, doubt the power of God, has caused you to doubt that God wants to come into your life and radically change you. Listen, Jesus has come and rose from the grave to conquer your doubt. Don't raise your hand if you doubt that your marriage will ever get better. I'm here to tell you, it can. If you're here today and you are addicted to whatever, and you say, I look, it's just got such a hold on me. My heart breaks for you as it breaks for those in marriage nightmares. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus, because he rose from the dead and conquered death, hell, and the grave, he can take that addiction, God, and he can throw it to hell where it came from. You say, Jeff, well, that doesn't happen, man. I have nothing against counseling. My God, of course I do. I refer people to counseling all the time. I'm not against counseling, and I'm not against any number of step program that you are in. I'm not against that. But experientially, I'm telling you today that my father, who was an alcoholic, who was drunk for 19 months in a row and never drew a sober breath, knelt in front of his couch and invited Jesus into his life, and he rose up from there, resurrected from the dead, and he no longer had a thirst for anything that looked, smelled, or tasted like alcohol. I'm telling you, your addiction can be demolished today. But Jesus, and your doubt causes you from moving forward. And yet when you look at that verse, and when you know the story of Lazarus, you're wondering, how could Thomas even think that way? I just want to remind you that they didn't have this. They didn't know how it was going to end. All they knew was Jesus said, let's go. And 11 of them was like, man, we can't. And Thomas is like, let's go. And you know what? If they kill him, we're going to die with him. Bravery? Yes. You sticking it out in this marriage, brave. Come on now. Yeah. Don't leave me hanging up here. You look all pretty, but let me tell you something. You keeping faith that child that has went astray, that's bravery. But what you've got to be careful of is that doubt don't get in there. Because if doubt gets in there, you will lose hope that they will ever come back. Thomas was a doubter. Let's go. Let's go, guys. Let's go that we may die with him. He was dead in his doubts. I'm curious how many in the room would be honest today, gut level honest, and say there are spiritual doubts now in my life, or maybe you're coming out of one. Maybe there's just overall confusion that is swirling in your mind. Who would be brave enough to join me and raise your hand? Yes. Thomas doubted there was any hope that good would come out of a situation. Let's look at Mary. If Thomas was doubtful, Mary was discouraged. Anybody in the room ever been discouraged? Let me tell you what that's called. That's called a preacher slam dunk. Because everyone has been discouraged. Notice with me verse 20. Discouragement is when you can't find the good in a situation. Discouragement is when you've prayed and prayed and tried and tried and tried and tried and this and that and you're still in the same routine and you are getting worn down. Discouragement is when someone tries to pour into you and tell you how much God loves you and how much Jesus did for you and wants to do with you, and you still can only think of the negative you and the yesterday you instead of the what's going forward you. That's discouragement. And there ain't enough encouragement inside of this body of this little preacher to pull you out of that. You have got to let the resurrection and the life pull you out of the pit of discouragement. You have to. You have to. John 11:20. Now Martha, as soon as they heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary, she was sitting at home, man, because, don't raise your hand. You ever been mad at Jesus? You ever been a little bugged at Jesus? Well, saying yeah is kind of the same as raising your hand, so I guess what I was getting at is, I don't need to know, but thank you for your honesty. transparency. Let me tell you what Mary was thinking. Mary was thinking, why bother? Why bother? We told him, where's he at? We told him, man, it's too late. He's D-E-A-D. He's dead, dead. He's dead, dead. You stink dead. He's so dead, there ain't a snowball's chance that he's going to come back to life. So I'm just going to sit here at the house. You go, you just run your little backside down there and you greet him. But personally, I'm a little bugged right now. And that honestly may be where some of us are, like Sabrina. You just think, seriously, nothing's going to change. Isn't that discouraging to feel that way? Man, I have felt that way so many times. That's what the enemy wants you to think. Because they don't. The enemy and all of his minions, if you will, they don't want you calling out on the resurrection. Oh, they want to keep you discouraged. You might think, man, I'm always going to feel alone. I'm always going to be depressed. I'm always going to be stuck in this dead-end job. I'm never going to have the marriage I thought I'd have. I'm always going to be sick. I'm always going to hurt. Things aren't working out like I thought that they would. So I am discouraged. And I know you're not going to show it because it's Easter maybe, but you can put on your finest clothes. And you look good, by the way. But underneath, inside of you, you're so discouraged right now. So many questions in your mind. I'm talking to somebody right now, and if I don't even get any farther, listen. Jesus came to give you life. And you don't have to keep going through this life discouraged. And I don't know who God is talking to right now, but he won't let me go on. I'm inviting you who are discouraged on this Resurrection Sunday to take that discouragement and the one who washed our feet, we now bow at his. And we lay that discouragement down. You say, okay, so I'll never be discouraged again. Didn't say that. What I said was, you don't have to leave here the same way you came. What God will do is that power of the resurrection will bring to life your hope that has died. and caused you to be discouraged. You're discouraged today. You were discouraged yesterday. The day before you were discouraged. You were discouraged the day before that. And if things hold true, you sit here right now thinking and believing, I'm going to be discouraged tomorrow. It's not working for you. It didn't work for me. So if you're discouraged, come to the resurrection and the life and let him breathe life into you. You know the story. You know that he called Lazarus by name. He's calling you by name. And he's saying, come forth. Let me bring back to life your hope, your dreams. Let me cleanse you of your sin. Let me give you the restart you've wanted for so, so long. And if you're here and it's your first time here and you came upon an invitation of someone else, ask anybody in the room. I'm not trying to make a spectacle of you. I'm trying to help you be free. That's my agenda. I don't get paid more based on how many people get right with God. Oh, but I'm paid. God says if you're discouraged right now, I ain't just talking, I got a low tire and I got to stop on the way home and I'm going to be late for dinner and grandma's going to be mad. I ain't talking about that. No, no, no. I'm talking about the discouragement that runs you down like a hound. Just when you start to feel better, just when you start to pull yourself out of it, here he comes. Blink. Why are you even messing with that? That ain't going to become nothing. You know, if that church knew the real you, I don't need to know the real you unless you invite me in. I would never cross that boundary. But I know the one that knows the real you. And what better day to watch your discouragement die and your life be resurrected than this day? God's speaking to some. If you're here and you're discouraged, I want you right now, stand to your feet. You're like, no, dude, you just freaked the crap out of me. Stand to your feet. Thank you, dear. Who else? Discouraged. Thank you, dear. Who else? Listen, I don't know what church used to be for you, but when God says move, we move. And he told me to stop and invite those who have been discouraged to stand to their feet. God bless you, dear. Who else? Who else? You're discouraged. I don't care if you've been here for 19 years or this is your third day here. Are you discouraged? Jesus is here. He wants to know. Are you discouraged? Are you discouraged? Who else? Who else? 5 seconds. I'm getting ready to mess the devil up so severely that he's going to rattle his head. We're going to bake his noodle right now, okay? So I want everyone who knows the power of prayer, who has inside of them the spirit of the resurrected Savior, to come to these two ladies right now and pray and lift up the name of Jesus. I'm here to guarantee you, because of the authority of that book, dear, listen to me. Jesus wants to resurrect in you that which has died. You gotta believe. You gotta believe what you don't see. You gotta believe what you don't know, baby. Hey, look at me. Jesus wants to resurrect in you that which has died. Hey, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Is there distance between you and God right now? Is your faith, you've been bumping up against the guardrail for so long. And today, Jesus is saying, come home. Come. He's calling your name out. Come forth. Come forth. I'm giving you new life. Come forth. 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 Ah. Come forth. 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 You're like, I didn't come prepared for this. Me neither. Welcome to living water. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. God said, there's somebody over here. You're discouraged. Here's what you just told yourself right now. But I'll work through it. For the love of God, don't try to work through it. Give it to Him. Let Him call you out and bring back to life that which has caused you nothing but discouragement. There's somebody in this section right now. Won't you stand and just let God have what it is that's holding you back? Come on, somebody. Church, pray. Are you praying? If you're not praying, listen, you don't have a ticket stub. This ain't a spectacle event, okay? You with me? Who in this section says, I'm so discouraged right now. I've been walking in circles. I don't know what to do. I need some wisdom. I need to be resurrected and roused. And encouragement needs to invade my soul. David says, I encourage myself in the Lord. Come on, come on. 5 seconds. Stay in an attitude of prayer. Jesus didn't live the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. Yes, He came to bring new life, but He is new life. I invite those in this house who are not only doubting and not only discouraged, but you have a disappointment that is eating you away. Brother, share your word right now. Share your word. We agree. I call now those who know they cannot fix their life anymore. You know there is a distance between you and Jesus. I don't care what your church history is. I don't care if you belong to a church. I don't even care if it's this church. I care about your relationship with Jesus. Candace, come up here. Sissy, come up here. Pam, would you come up here for just a second? Chancey, come up here. I want you right up here. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Kevin, I want you to come up here. And Tom, I want you to come up here and stand right here. Look up here at me. Look up here at me. I'm going to speak to the hopeless. My brother said His glory will remove the negativity that is keeping you from walking in your hope. You say, man, I don't want to expose myself. Listen, your Jesus carried a daggone cross through the middle of the town while he was spat upon and while they ridiculed him. Oh, no, no. You don't get a free pass. Jesus doesn't work in the secret. It is for his glory, as our brother said. So you who know you need Jesus in your life, I'm asking you, ladies, I have confidence in these ladies. They're not counseling you. They're just going to pray with you. Every head up. If you're here and you know that you know, your palms are sweating, your heart's beating, you say, today I know. Today I know. Today I know. It's my mile marker. It's the day I look back on and understand that today, Jesus and I became one. Get out of your seat and come. You don't have to say a thing to them. They're there to pray. Gentlemen, I got confidence in these men. Get out of your seat. Come and pray. I don't know what it is your biggest need is. What I know is Jesus said, come. He called your name and he said, come. So if you're here and you need Jesus, come. 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 Leave your seat and come. Come. You say, we don't do altar things. Come, the altar is symbolic of a place where something dies. Die to yourself. And let Jesus raise you back to life.
Be reconciled to the one who created you. You may not understand him as a savior, but he
That's cool. Yes, amen. Listen, God's already laid it on my heart, man. God bless you, dear. It's courage. Meet her right here. Meet her right here. Listen. Here's the thing. God has already laid on my heart. I have heard that the Lord has said, at the risk of sounding manipulative, which I am not, the reason we're still having this conversation is because there's someone else that needs to know Jesus. And until God tells me we're done, we're not done. Oh, the mercy of our God that would give you another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance. Oh, the mercy of a God when there was sin in the camp that he went through layer after layer after layer until he got down to the individual. He gave chance after chance for the one who needed to be set free from their sin to come forward. Chance after chance after chance after chance. What happens when he doesn't draw you? Is whatever holding you back worth that? Come on. Listen. God told me to shut up. So I invite you to come. Be restored.